Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. Good night. Wherever you are, you have tuned in to Leadership the Way I See It. Your host, Alonzo Kelly, with Kelly Leadership Group. And let me come out the gate and just tell you just how awkward this is a little bit. So, as most of you know, this radio show I do online, and I typically do it at 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, this morning, attempting to multitask, I had multiple computers open and I hit a wrong button and I talked for 30 minutes and all people got was dead air. So I apologize for that, and part of me is smiling because I was on a roll. I had a lot to say, did it with a lot of energy. Maybe I was in my feelings a little bit. And the universe said, you know what, Alonzo, I don't think I want the world to hear you say that. But now it's past my bedtime, and I promised people that I would be on, so I'm going to do this entire show again. And this time, if my mom was still here, she would say, boy, act like you got some sense. So I'm going to do it in my calm voice, in my cool, collected voice. But nonetheless, you will still feel the energy and the excitement and the importance of the topic. So here's how I'm going to lead into it. Obviously, you have you read the write-up, and this has to do with COVID-19 is a virus, not an excuse. I do not understand why it's even necessary to remind people of things that I'm sure at some point we learned as children. And I'm going to let you decide what that is. But, you know, there's a rule. You do not grocery shop hungry. When you're frustrated, it is highly recommended that you put your phone down, because once you send something out there into the universe like that, you cannot take it back. It's just out there. And so I don't know what has happened to people. I will admit I've never experienced a pandemic. I've never experienced a quarantine. And as a human being, I too am a little batty, locked in my house or locked in the house with kids. And, you know, you just need to get out. But then taking that frustration out through social media is just not the best idea. It's just not, and I can't even believe I got to say that. But nonetheless, here we are. And so what I thought I would do, which is something I typically do not do, and you should know that it's on purpose, I'll post either a critical thinking exercise or just something for you to examine your own thought process. And the general rule is this. Critical thinking, one of the definitions that is used through the foundation of critical thinking is thinking about my thinking while thinking in order to become a better thinker. Said differently, in the moment, instead of worrying about the other person or wanting to aim at the other person if you find yourself in conflict, what you say is, you ask yourself, I wonder why I'm interpreting it this way, or I wonder why I'm feeling about this way, because in all likelihood, it's going to happen again. And if I do not like what is happening to me now, how can I be addressing it next time? So that's the high level explanation of what the critical thinking is. And the part that I keep reinforcing is the definitions of words and the concepts of words are not the same, and most of us tend to live our lives according to concepts, not the literal definition. And so what I always do is I'll put those out, and on very rare occasions will I answer a public question that I put out there, because it's for meditation. But this is one of those times I'm going to break from that, and I'm going to give you an answer to a question I ask, rooted in my experience and my understanding. So the other day, I put out there a video on YouTube, and you can find them on Kelly Leadership Group. I asked people to think through, what is their understanding of the difference between earned, deserved, and entitled? Earned, deserved, and entitled. And I gave a bunch of examples that I'm not going to run through because you can go to the video, but I will give you the definitions, which I ask people not to look up. And just to expand on that, it's not that I never want you to look up the definition. Of course, I'd like you to use terms accurately. But what I do not like is, instead of thinking for ourselves first, we go grab like Google. And that's what bothers me. I want us to get back in the habit of thinking for ourselves first, because once upon a time, that's what you had to do. But now here's the literal definition and difference between earned, deserved, and entitled. Earned happens when, what I'll say is, you have a contract. And the simplest example I can use on that is, let's say you and I enter into an employee-employer relationship, and you offer me the job, and it's $10 an hour, and I work 10 hours. So I work my 10 hours at $10 an hour. $100 is the total. We have a contract for that, so I have earned $100. The word earned is rooted in a contract. Well, what about deserved? Quite literally, deserved is if you do something that you believe to be worthy of praise and or punishment, then that's the definition of deserve. Again, if you do something worthy of praise and or punishment, then what we'll say you have received as a result of that is what you have deserved. So super fast, earned, we have a contract. Deserve, you believe you've done something worthy of praise, and or we deem you as having done something worthy of punishment. And then there's this last word, entitled. And quite literally, what it means to be entitled, the definition of entitled is, if you are inherently deserving of privilege or special treatment, if you believe that you are inherently deserving of some type of privilege or special treatment, that is the definition of entitled. So I almost wish we were in a classroom and I'd ask you to raise your hand and then repeat back to me your understanding of what I just said. Notice how I phrase that. I'd ask for you to share with me your understanding of what I just said, not tell me what I said and have people attempt to regurgitate word for word. That's not proof you've learned anything. Tell me what you understood I just said. So, earned, contract, deserve, worthy of, entitled, inherently deserving of privilege or special treatment. So when do these words come up? My learning style is visual. So let me give you something that you can look at, something you can see, maybe something you can touch. In my experience, there are a bunch of times that I can tell people are using these words not according to the definition, but according to the concept that they believe it to be. So let's go back to that job you offered me, $10 an hour. I work 10 hours. I'm expecting $100. But here's the thing. The job requires that I stand outside, or I'm outside on the freeway with black tar tarring the road, facing oncoming traffic in a 75 mile per hour speed zone. It's 200 degrees outside, and I got to do that in a 10 hour shift. I might look at you and be like, this $10, this is not enough. And then what you do as my leader is you look back at me and say, yeah, but you know, Alonzo, the job pays $10 an hour. And then now you and I are in conflict. The leader would argue, here's what you've earned. I'd be arguing, here's what I deserve. Like, I'm worthy of more. And now we're in conflict. And what you believe you deserve and what I believe you've earned, we can't seem to meet in the middle. And then we turn our backs and we walk away. And as a leader, I say, why does he think he's entitled to more than what I promised? Why does he think he deserves any special treatment when the job was clearly laid out and now we're in conflict? Or you hear people refer to government assistance programs as entitlement programs, but they say it like with malice, as if needing help has somehow made you like bad. Or they say it as if you're not worthy of this treatment, this special treatment. So, Alonzo, we got to eliminate the entitlement programs. All these people on entitlement programs, listen to our politicians. One group of politicians will label it as assistance for families in need or working families. Another group will say, yeah, I'm not funding any more entitlement programs until you fund this, this, or this, or we need to cut the budget for entitlement programs, and that's why we're in such a big deficit. You listen to people say it on both sides, regardless of ideology, and they come at each other with malice in their heart. So that's why it's important that I ask the question, and I want to be clear in terms of what I want. Here's my selfish need as to why I do that 3 times a week. Here's my selfish need. What I need for us to do, to commit to, is practice the skill of critical thinking. I do not expect everybody to get it right every time. I do have to smile, and this isn't a shot at anyone in particular, but I do get a lot of feedback like, you know, Alonzo, sometimes that stuff is just too deep. And I smile, and I think to myself, no, it's not. No, it's not. Because I'm after the skill. If you can commit to the skill, then this would be good. So now with 15 minutes left or so, let's talk about why I introduced that in this particular topic. I have seen over the last 2 months, and just us as human beings, at our best and at our ugliest, on social media. We have people posting all kinds of things and appearing to just not even care who is catching shrapnel from this. What do they say? You know, if you're mad at a person, don't throw a grenade at them in a crowd. They're just, they grab their phones or their computers and they jump on social media, pick a platform, doesn't matter to me, and they will say some of the most ugly, vile, selfish things I've ever seen, and they fire that out into the universe. And then what happens is they forget. This is how I view social media, right? I view it as a flare. And every time you take your thumb or whatever it is you're using to swipe, what you've done is you've answered the call of a flare in the air. The minute you read it, it's like you've answered a call for help. You've answered a plea for help. You've answered a plea for attention. If I didn't want the attention, I wouldn't have posted it, right? So I shoot this flare in the air, and then the people come running. And then we all descend on the person who shot the flare in the air. And then they decide at that point, oh, well, I didn't mean you. Oh, yeah, I wasn't talking to you. Well, you know, Alonzo, like, not everybody's like that. But the problem is, you can't control that. You can't control that. You can't light a campfire and want to attract wildlife but be mad that the mosquito showed up. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. So I've seen people post things about pandemics and COVID-19 and social distancing, and I'm watching people fight for haircuts, and then we'll evolve, right? So now we're seeing people gathering for social justice and policy and police reform, and all these things are happening, and we have people who are acting like they're shopping hungry. They've just completely lost their minds. And I'm pausing because this morning I was so into my feelings that I did explicitly name names. And what I would like to do this time, because in very rare occasion life offers you a mulligan, this is how I'm going to do it. There are enough people who know exactly what I'm talking about with a former coworker who decided that he would post. He wishes our public safety professionals, National Guard, police, everybody, would use live rounds on protesters. The problem is, I'm not even friends with the guy on social media. So a screenshot of his post was sent to me, I wish I were exaggerating, at least 7 times by former players that he coached, right? So some things, elephants can't play hide and seek. So the coach was white, and all the diverse players were sending me screenshots, and they were crushed. They were absolutely crushed that the coach would actually post that, because the way that he phrased it and the way that it was being interpreted is his former athletes were like, why is he saying shoot me? And so what I decided to do was to run directly back at the coach, and I said what I had to say, and it's out there, and I saved it. And for whoever's listening, if you're truly interested in that, you could write me, but I would like you to stick with the bigger point. The bigger point was, when you're in a position of privilege, I personally am always fascinated when you get this violent reality that people with privilege do not agree with you, and then privilege runs at privilege, and we both can't be right. And then there's the famous apology. And as a guy who's very mindful of language, I'm going to slow down so you can hear my frustration with the phrase. I apologize for anyone I may have offended. I apologize to anyone I may have offended. So let's step out of this for a quick second, okay? When I type hashtag Detroit versus everybody, or I tell everybody I'm a Detroit Lions fan, even though I live in Green Bay. If I say to you, I apologize to anyone I may have offended by saying that, do you believe there are more or less people I think I've offended or that I have encouraged? Saying I may have offended implies, you know, there might be a few people, but for the majority of people, I got your back, right? I got your back. That's how these apologies land with me. For anyone I may have offended, how about I apologize for my offensive and then fill in the blank, but to qualify it with a number of people, you lose me right out the gate. And it never works. It doesn't work. And so we've got people posting these things, especially now in real time. We've got, you know, people marching for social justice. I'm doing my best to stay at 30,000 feet, marching for social justice. And we've got people I wish would just put their phones down and that includes some people in my family. I wish they put their phones down, but they're not, and they keep posting it. And then here's the part that they miss, or maybe they do not miss. This quarantine season will end, restrictions will be lifted, and now you got to go back and sit next to people. Part of that may have offended. You've got to look people in the eye that you are very aware of saw what you had to say. And how do you take that back? Well, you can't take it back. I answered the call. You shot the flare in the air. I answered the call. You have no idea what it took for me to get there. And then you just sent me away. It doesn't work like that. So now we're to the apology. Do you believe when you apologize as a matter of my acceptance, my acceptance of your apology is something you've earned? See how this comes full circle? Do you and I have a contract that if you speak recklessly, either in person or on social media, do we have a contract in place that says, I must accept your apology? Well, fam, I have never signed such a contract, and maybe you do that with your friends. I never have. So that one's out. You've not earned an acceptance of my apology. Well, do you deserve it? Have you done something worthy of praise or punishment? Well, here's the thing. Apologizing, you might believe is worthy of praise. I believe may be worthy of punishment. And so now we're already in conflict. So do you deserve my acceptance of your apology? I'm not sure. That's about as nice as I can put it. I'm not sure. That's something you and I both are going to have to work out together. Well, now comes an interesting one. Are you entitled to an acceptance of an apology? Are you inherently deserving of some special privilege or special treatment that I will accept your apology, but not an apology from other people that have done the exact same thing? Well, this one requires a little bit of thought, and the best way that I can offer this to you is, if you and I have some capital together, I've known you for a while. I've seen your pattern of behavior. And you do something that I believe would be out of character. Yeah, you're deserving of special treatment. But if I never met you, yeah, not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And that's not just me. I believe that's reflective of how most people feel. If we never met, and that's what's happening on social media. But what about in like professional relationships or personal relationships? Somebody violates trust. They betray you in some type of way. And then in my head, it goes to data points and data trends, right? So we're all human. This show will never be long enough for me to all of the times I've let people down. I continue to let people down. This show would never be long enough for me to list those times I wish I had put my phone down. So I'm not saying this from a point of judgment. I'm saying it from a position of strength through humility. You're going to have to, like, trust me on this one. Like, I get it. You know, we let each other down, and then all you can do as best you can is commit to not putting yourself as developing a trend in doing this, right? So you tell a lie once, and then you tell it again, and then you tell another one, and then you tell another one, and then you tell another one, and then it reaches a point where, you know, it may actually be true that you finally get it. And you're sorry, or you apologize. But now it's like a baton. You hand it off to the other person, and here's what the other person is deciding for themselves. Has this person earned my acceptance of their apology? Do we have a contract in place? Now, some might be arguing, do we have a social contract in place? And the reason I haven't talked too much about it is because I do not understand those. Well, what about deserve? Does this person deserve an acceptance after repeated pattern of betrayal? Whether it's personal, coworker, family, friend, employee to leader, do they deserve? Are they worthy of praise? That's for you to decide. I am not yet at the place that a person is entitled to have their apology accepted, particularly after a pattern of doing things, right? So I hear myself, my words are bouncing off this computer, and like I'm in the middle of that right now, like in my head. Like, I have to decide for myself, and if I struggle out loud and I put myself in this vulnerable position, then I'm hoping it makes it okay for you to be okay with being vulnerable about it too, right? I do not know when I have forgiven someone. And the reason I do not know when I've actually forgiven someone is I can't quite find a definition of forgive that I feel good about. So I've made no, I've not tried to hide ever that I come at this faith-based. What I do not do, though, is allow somebody to define it for me, but I do have some baseline template, and in terms of my faith, it's, you know, you forgive 7 times 77, which is sounds amazing, except I'm wondering why you gotta do it 7 times 77 times. Is it because you haven't figured out how to do it yet, right? So when you post recklessly and you believe it can be fixed as simple as an apology, then the opposite of that is forgiveness, and I don't understand what that means. And now I gotta sit next to you at work, or I have to report to you, or we have to continue to move along this life journey as partners, and I don't know what that means for me, and it means something different for everybody. And that's the problem with acting like COVID-19 will be okay as the reason that we've been reckless. If anything, now is the time to double down our thoughts and our mindfulness. So here's how I'm going to end this conversation in the last couple minutes. I also say a lot of times, less nouns, more verbs. I'll drop this nugget for you. Having a brain has never saved anybody. Thinking has, though. A vaccine has never saved anybody. A vaccination has, though. Less nouns, more verbs. Having a brain does not make you smart. Using your brain does. Having the title does not give you authority. Exercising the responsibility in the title does. Asking someone to forgive you or an accept an apology will mean less to them than it does to see what an authentic apology looks like. Apologizing will mean less to me, in my experience, and show me what apologizing looks like. Being mindful of how your behavior has affected another person. Show me what that looks like. So that's what I wanted to give to you, family. It is definitely a more toned down version than this morning. Anyone who was able to jump on live this evening, I do sincerely appreciate it. I do always thank you for sharing your time. I'm praying that this message finds you well, finds you safe, finds you patient. finds you diligent, finds you thinking, and finds you thinking about your own thoughts and your own behavior and not judging others. With that, I cannot wait to talk to all of you next time. Be safe out there. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.